2 Corinthians chapter 6, look down here at verse 11. So let me pray and ask the Lord to help me with this, and we'll continue our study. We're talking about hindrances in our Christian life. Father, I pray for your help as I preach and teach your word. I pray that you'd use this for your glory and your honor. I pray that you'd help me to rightly divide it. And Lord, I pray that we would see what your word says, and Lord, that we would see how it's a hindrance to us in our walk with you. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So it's been talking about hindrances, and we've been talking about hindrances to your prayer life. As a believer, you can have your prayers being hindered because of sin. We talked about bitterness. Bitterness is a big one that could be a hindrance to you, that many are defiled, I believe the Bible says in Hebrews from that. We talked about worldliness. It's a condition of a Christian who follows the fleshly ways of the world, so worldliness. We talked about losing our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You saw that in Revelation chapter 2, where we talked about that of the church. And then last week, we started, and Lord willing, we'll finish this week, compromising. And compromising, you'd see compromising as in to sin, and compromising to false doctrine. We've been going back in different ones that we've been talking about. God doesn't want us as Christians to compromise. Now, there's a difference between a husband and wife. You know, you may compromise. That's different. I'm talking about compromising God's word. If God says it's wrong, period, right? It's wrong. Don't try to justify it. God says it's wrong. So anyway, that's a hindrance in your spiritual life. Do not compromise God's word. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to start reading here verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitening us, but ye are straightening your own bowels. So he's using this illustration that's here, and that word straighten means tight, right? So what he was saying is, ye are not tight or straighten or tight in us, right? We're not like uptight or whatever to you, right? That's what Paul was saying them to the church, right? They're open, and they were talking to them. They cared for them. They loved them. But they as a church, right? And that's what he was saying to them. Like they were uptight, right? And they were kind of more of in a wrong way, right? And he goes on and says, now for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be also enlarged, right? Have an open heart, right? And he goes on, and he gives them this wonderful instruction that's here that we as believers should follow. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So if you think about a yoke, in our day and age, we don't see it too often. Maybe the Amish, you may see the Amish that have a yoke. But you think about it, it's that wood thing that they would put over, like oxen. They would put over oxen, could be horse. Or others that wear this thing that's there. Our Lord tells us, you know, about put the yoke on, right? So we're supposed to get in with him and allow him to lead. And here he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, right? Linking up. One example would be is marriage. You know, if you get married, you should marry a believer. God doesn't want a Christian to marry a non-believer. One of the things, if someone would ask me to say, you know, if I would marry them, you know, I'd sit down and talk to them. And I tell people ahead of time, I do Christian weddings. Amen. And if someone's like, well, I'm a believer, and the other person is not, I won't marry them. And then sometimes people get mad. I remember one time I was talking to someone, and they asked if I could marry them. And I said, well, I was sure, talk to you and stuff. And my first question to them was, is, because this individual told me that he was a Christian, I said, is she a believer? And his response to me was, well, I don't know. And I said, you're going to get into a marriage relationship with someone, this commitment that's death do you part, and you don't even know if they're a believer? I think there's more that you need to sit down and talk with, right? And find out things that are there. But the reality is, that's what he tells us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, right? So God wants believers to marry other believers, amen? It's not wise for someone that's a Christian to get into a business together, right? As partners with someone that's lost, right? That's what he's saying, unequally yoked to with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? So light is referring to those that are Christians, and darkness is those that are, you know, lost, right? And what he's saying is, you think about what kind of fellowship are you going to have? It's hard to talk about the Lord. You know the Lord. They don't know the Lord, right? You're going to have a desire to follow the Scripture. They're not going to have a desire to follow Scripture. So here it is. He's telling us this. He says, and what concord has Christ with Belial? And that word Belial refers to like the devil, Satan. What part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. What he's saying is God dwells in us, right? As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, that's a very clear command. God is saying, come out from, right? So God is for separation, not the false doctrine of what the Amish do, right? They live a separate life, but what they do is they just go to extreme, amen, and wrong, right? Where it would be like, you can't have electricity, right? That's worldly. You can have a pipe, but you can't have electricity, amen? So crazy stuff, amen? But that's a good picture of religion, or someone that's very religious and lost, right? But anyway, he gives this command, come out from among them, right? Be separate. It goes on, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen? The reason why people don't try to live a holy life is because they don't have the fear of God like they should. When my mom would tell me, your dad, you know, when I was little, your dad's coming home soon. And I knew if I did something wrong, he was coming home soon. I had a fear, right? I was like, oh no, I'm going to get in trouble, right? Here is, he talks about this fear of God. Yes, there is a reverence, but also understanding that God is fully aware of your actions. You're going to be held accountable for what you do. And when you're aware of that, it will help you to say, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't do this because God is fully aware. And if I do that, then God could chasten me, and I don't want that. And it will cause you to make sure you're doing what is right. Doesn't mean you'll always do what's right. But anyway, what is he saying? He's talking about this separation, right? This separation from sin, right? Look what the Bible says as you turn over here to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, please don't take it out of context. God's not saying that you can't go to the store, right? And things to that nature. God's not saying you can't try to win someone to Christ, right? You're going to try to win someone to Christ that's an unbeliever, right? There's some people that take things out of context of what God is saying in His Word.
Somebody who's married and gets saved, but the other person's not, they shouldn't divorce them, though, right?
Correct. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about that, where it tells you that... Yeah, that.
But you don't have to partake in things that they do that's not of God either.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So in that example of, let's say that Debbie and I were both lost, and Debbie just got saved, right? So we're in a marriage, right? So it's not God's will for us to separate, right? So here it is. I'm still lost. She's married. So the reality is she's going to do her best to serve the Lord. I don't know the Lord, right? Imagine someone just called in or get online and be like, preacher's insane. He's lost. Whoa. So anyway, he was saying that the marriage should continue to go on, right? And but there's things, right, that she would not do, right? And it talks about that, how a wife should be submissive to her own husband, keyword, own husband, as in the Lord, right? So the reality is as into the Lord. So if I would tell her, right, and let's say that we were married, I'd say, hey, go down and buy some beer. Imagine someone called in now and be like, what did preacher just say? He said he's lost and drink, get some beer. The reality is, as fit in the Lord, that would be something she would say, you know, I can't do because that is sinful for me, right? So anyway, yes. What's that? But yeah, but when we got married, I was saved, she was saved, and that's why. But there are people that will be saved after they're in a marriage. God doesn't want you to leave, right? Clear instructions, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You can go back and read that later on your own. But he explains that. Because there were other believers in church at Corinth that must have had that question, and God told Paul what to write. So in Ephesians chapter 5, if you look here starting at verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. God wants us to follow him, right? And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior. Amen. You think about it, God loves us, right? God wants, it's kind of like, you know, ladies, you may get the perfume and it smells good, right? Don't like put on so much that you scare everyone away from you and it's like, oh, too much. But there's that smell, right? I don't wear that perfume stuff, but sometimes I have to tell you, when you're walking, you go to the mall, that's like a ancient thing now, it's dying out, but you go to the mall and you go by Bath and Body. They must have a fan throwing out that smell, amen? And next thing you know, my wife and my daughter's like, ah, and they just, you know, and that smell that takes them in. But I have to say, sometimes going in there, there's some smells, it's like, wow, that smells pretty nice, right? And there's some others that are like, oh, that's horrible, right? God wants us to be that sweet-smelling Savior, right? Someone that loves him, amen? Someone that say, we draw others to the Lord because of how we're living. And then he says, verse 3, so this is, again, you think about compromising God's word, here would be sin. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, right? God doesn't want your name even once to be tagged to it, right? As when you get saved, God's saying what? Stay away, right? Evil communications corrupt good manners, right? So you can start hanging around with people, and the reality is they don't love God, and the reality is they will draw you away from God, and don't be surprised that you do end up doing foolish things, amen? It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He's talking about like those bad jokes, right? Dirty jokes, horrible jokes. You get it, right? God's saying as believers, stay away from that, right? And it's hard in the world that we live in because, you know, we're out in the world and you have people that may say things. Don't get involved in that, right? A lot of times they'll know that you're a Christian and they'll get ready to say something. Oh, yeah, hold on a second, right? Better not say that, amen? And I'm not saying that you know, if you're there on assembly line, someone says a bad joke or whatever, that you leave the assembly line because you're working, right? So you just pray or something. Jenny, do you have a question?
Yeah, it's so weird you said that. Chris just told me today, he was like, this guy at work, and he just is so vulgar and so rude, and he gross jokes.
Yeah. 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 So, you know what I mean? The Bible's not saying leave your work, right? You're there. But the best thing to do is, what I have found for myself is, when I had an opportunity to be alone, I may say something to the person, or I just start singing. A lot of times I do that in my head. I'll start singing, right? I'll find a song. What can wash away my sin? You want them to really get them. Yeah. Sometimes you can get them to stop when you say that. Sometimes I have, when someone would say something, example at work. You know, I mean, it's when I first started at work, it wasn't as common as what it is now. You know, when I first started to work, you may have heard people cuss a little bit. Now it's like, even on conference calls, where you even have an executives that are cussing and other stuff. It's just crazy. And I would be on a conference call, and someone will even take the Lord's name in vain. And where I have talked to people, and I said, you know, I can't remember the exact words, but I have told them. I said, you know, I'm a Christian, and I prefer, please don't take my Lord's name in vain. And I really don't like that. Now, they have tried to respect and try not to do that. Other people, I'm sure, make fun of me and say things. I don't care. But I try to say something, amen. We went to, what was it, J.C. Penney's? And when we were in J.C. Penney's, there was a lady there, took God's name in vain. And the lady looks at her and says, why are you bringing God in the conversation? It was just funny how she... Because she wasn't thinking about that, right? She just mentioned God's name with it, you know, or whatever. And the lady, remember the lady that did that? It was just kind of smiling. So, but anyway, it says, verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man who is idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, right? So in this scripture, he's not saying that a Christian may not do one of these things, right? There's been, unfortunately, Christians who have had fornication. It's been named against them, right? But if you're truly a believer, you cannot continue down that path. You won't be able to continue to live in that path. God will chasten you, and God will call you home. Whatever it would be, there would be that conviction that's there. And that's what he's alluding to that's here. He says, so don't let anyone deceive you, right? Someone's just living in sin. Like, God doesn't care about that. I can continue to do that. They're trying to deceive you. They are deceived. You can't do that, right? He goes on and says, be not therefore partakers with them, right? Don't partake. So again, it's that separation. So again, it's not saying, Jenny, he should leave work, right? But he shouldn't get involved of saying bad joke, which I knew he wouldn't. So it's interesting. It's always amazing how God has things. You know, it's just amazing how God works. But you're saying that by partaker, if you need to, you know, leave or things to that nature, or someone that's joking around, or someone doing something they really shouldn't, right? It goes on and says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Do you see that word that's there? Were. You know what that means?
Lost.
You were lost, right? At one time, you would have never thought about it, or you would have thought, well, there's nothing that wrong. Who cares, right? You would have justified those things, right? It's only a bad joke. It's only one bad joke. Come on, preacher, right? One time you're in darkness, you may not have thought about that. But now it says, but now you're light in the Lord, right? As it said, in the Lord. You know what that means? You are born again, right? This verse is very small verse, but there's a lot of meat here. And what I mean by that is, someone that's in the past was walking in darkness. Then when you get saved, it says, now now are ye light in the Lord. In the Lord means your position, what you have. And now look what the ending says. Walk as children of light. What you see in the ending of that verse, you see a position. You're in Christ. You can't lose it. However, practice is your day-to-day living. And practice means God wants you to live for him, right? So you'll see both there. You'll see your position. You are in Christ. Can't lose it. But just because you're in Christ doesn't mean you can live any which way you want to. Walk, right? That's what he's saying. Walk as children of light. Set the example. People should know you as a Christian, right? They should know by the way that you talk, maybe the words you say, the things you don't say, the life that you live. It should not surprise someone to be like, you're a Christian? Whoa, I didn't know that, right? Now, if they didn't meet you the first time, that's different. I meant talking to people that know you. It shouldn't surprise them that you're a Christian, right? And that's why he's saying walk as children of light, or practice. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen? Allowing God to work through you. Now, here, look here at the next verse. Again, we're talking about this compromising, but now we're seeing the other part of this. It's saying proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How are you going to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord?
Walk his way.
Walk his way, right? How else can you do that? How do you know what his way is?
Reading the last word.
Right there. Bible, right? So the way that you can know what is acceptable is find out what the Bible says, right? So if the Bible says this is good, you know it's good. If God says it's wrong, you know it's wrong, right? So what's acceptable, you can... You know, even though you would know, is it okay to say bad jokes? Well, you can look here. No, it's not, right? Is it okay to live together before marriage? No, right? So it's clear. Look what it says here, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, right? No fellowship. Don't be involved in it, right? They're going out to their bars to drink. Have no fellowship, right? That's saying, if they go, that's their choice. Don't you go, right? You see that? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And you see the ending part? But rather reprove them. Reprove them. Tell them, you know, it's a fault. That's the word is defined as even as conviction, right? So when someone's doing something like that, you know, you could say, well, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. You know, that's not right. Or someone asked you, is it okay? I don't have Facebook and never want Facebook. I don't get into any of that social things. And I'm not saying it's wrong. What makes it wrong is what people post and et cetera. But sometimes it amazes me if some things that I hear. Someone may post something that's wrong, and then someone likes it or whatever. You know? Well, why would you like something that's wrong, right? It's just, that doesn't make, you know? Yeah. That's, I don't get that, right? The reality is, the Bible says, you know, no. Amen? Yeah, if you have to, block them or whatever, right? It says, but rather reprove them, right? Now, there's... Let me break that down just for a second. Let's say I'm going to use the example of Bubba. So let's say that there's something that Bubba's doing and I'm trying to talk to him about it, but he's to the place he doesn't want to hear it. You know? Well, the reality is I can continue to tell him, but it's not going to help, right? All I'm going to do is just make him mad. The reality is this. I don't compromise and tell him it's right. I could just start praying for him. Because the reality is, he already knows. He already knows what I believe, how I stand. So I don't have to keep on pounding him over the head, right? But if Bubba came to me and asked me, I should tell him, hey, you know this isn't right. You know, this is what the Bible says, right? And that's what it says, reprove, right? To tell a fault. If someone's doing something wrong, you tell them. It goes on, it says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, right? Hey, you know what John did? You know, he's talking about these bad, wicked things, right? What he's saying is a shame, right? Don't partake. That's the whole, what Paul was trying to write to this church to tell them. Don't partake in it, right? Don't be a part of this. It says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is lying, right? Reproof. Now, again, there's a difference between an opinion and thus saith the Lord, right? So, you know, you go out and you're eating at a fancy restaurant, and you're supposed to start with the fork that's on the outside, and you work your way in, you know, the dishes that are there. And you may have someone who'll be like, bless God, you got to start here or do this, right? Well, that's an opinion, right? It's just, who cares if you eat from the first one, second one? I know proper etiquette or whatever. But that's not going to hurt you spiritually, right? Versus something that's very clear in the scripture. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, you set your table, you don't have to have five forks, right? And someone doesn't have five forks, you can say, you're not right with God. No, you're not right. Amen. Not saying if you want to put five forks on, you can. Amen. And I only have two hands, 2 feet, so I don't know. I guess the other one I put in my mouth, but it'd be hard to eat. So, but anyway, what I'm saying is there's a difference between something is your opinion versus thus saith the Lord. So always remember that. He goes on and says, wherefore he saith, awake thou to right, Tony, my eyes are today. Wake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee lie, right? He's talking about us to believers to wake up. Realize people are dying and going to hell. And if we continue to not live for the Lord, the reality is we're not going to have impact. I go back to the example of Lot. Lot lost his family because he didn't live for God. And that's one of the saddest things. You know, when I read that in the Bible, it's just like, oh, how horrible that must have been for Lot when he finally realized, you know what happened. You know, it's just like, you know. But anyway, he's telling us to wake up. It says, see that you walk circumspectly, right? Examine your way, thinking about what you're doing, right? Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, right? Time is just going by, right? And look what he says here, verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you ever look and wanted to know what God's will is for you? Well, here's one that he tells us, right? What is it? Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord for you in this, what he's telling you is to live for him, keep sin out, don't compromise, right? Be an example to others. That's God's will for your life. You are an ambassador for Christ. Any questions with that before we move over to the other one? To move back. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So reproved would be, goes back up to verse 11, and that means to tell fault. Means made known or brought out, right? So let me see if I can give a good example. Someone would ask me a question and say, what's your opinion on this? And a lot of times the way I'll respond to them is, my opinion doesn't matter, your opinion doesn't matter. What matters is what God says. And let me show you what the Bible says and show them, right? It's made manifest by the light. And we'll show them this is what God said. God says this is wrong. Does that make sense? Thank you. I appreciate you asking the question. Any other things that are there for you? Look over here to 1 John. 1 John. So again, compromising. God doesn't want us to compromise, right? So God talks about this separation, not the separation of the Amish, right? But the separation from false doctrine, separation from sin. Look here in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, this is a wonderful book to read. Talks about how you have a relationship with God. Then when you have a relationship, then God desires to have fellowship. And then there, in here, he tells you if you're Christian, you have evidence, right? There's evidence that you should have as a believer in your life. 1 John is a great book to go through, to read, to teach you that. But look down here in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, right? God is holy. There's no sin in God. God is completely 100% holy. No sin, right? So with that being said, then he goes to the next verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him, who's it referring to? We.
Us, believers,
right? He's saying have fellowship. So that fellowship, he's not talking about that you're, he's not talking about being saved, right? We are saved. Fellowship is saying that you're in the Spirit, doing things that God wants you to do, right? Fellowship, walking with the Lord, right? That means you can pray and your prayers are going to get through. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Now that darkness, what was he talking about? He's not talking about at nighttime when you have all the lights off, but yes.
Sin,
right?
Sin,
we lie and do not the truth, right? So again, he's not talking about lost people here. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about their walk with the Lord. And he started off and said, God is holy and there's no sin in him. Now, if we are saying we're walking with the Lord, we're doing what God wants us to do, but we have darkness, as in sin in our life. Again, he's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about believers. What he said, we lie and do not the truth. You're deceiving yourself to say that you're walking with God, that you're okay with God if you have sin in your life. Does that make sense? So, when, what's that?
It does make sense, but it's confusing.
What's confusing, I guess?
What we've been talking about. You know, God says, you know, we're saved. You know, we get to go to heaven now.
Yeah.
But if we're saved, stop sinning.
Yeah.
But we have a sinful nature. Hello?
Yeah, well, what that comes down to is it's more related to surrendering. You have to surrender. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but what it's...
Sinning? No, he says don't.
Yeah, well... Well, what you do is every single day you ask the Lord to help me to walk. Yeah, help me to walk for you. Help me to be able to. Yeah. And then what he tells us, he tries to help us to say, hey, keep things out. Because some things. So let me give you an example. You're right. It's impossible to stop sinning. Right. However, you can put things in your life that can cause you to sin more, right? So, example, if I hang out with those that are lost all the time and they have a bad mouth, there's no desire of God, it's going to be easier for me to say things I shouldn't say. Why? Evil communications corrupt good manners, right? Versus if I'm not in that situation, doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, but the temptation heeding into some of those things is not there.
You're not putting yourself in temptations, like knowing willingly.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There's people that I hang with, but it's very limited. And usually it's just like a little project or something, you know, that I'm witnessing to, but I know I got to hang with them a little bit or you can't witness to them. But I limit my time because I find myself kind of, I know what you're saying, not doing it, but I can see where if I did it 5-6 hours a day all the time, so you're slipping your time,
yeah,
back into.
Yeah. Does it make sense, Mark? I know what you're coming at.
But,
yeah. So you don't want to put yourself in those situations, right? Evil communications, right? You don't want to get out of church. You want to be faithful. You want to continue to read your Bible, continue to pray. If doing those things, putting on the whole armor, you have more the ability, because the Bible says with the Holy Spirit in your surrender, you don't have to sin. We choose to sin. But you get yourself out of God's will, it is a lot easier. Those barriers come down where you're going to sin. But we're not perfect. I know what you're saying. It's God saying he wants us not to sin, but he also knows we're human. He knows we're going to sin, right? But that's not a liberty to sin.
Right.
Make sure.
No, that's understandable.
Yeah. So where we was there a question?
I think the way I interpreted that verse is...
Which one are you on?
The 6.
Yeah.
1-6. Like, it says if you say that you're walking with God, but then you're sinning, so it's kind of saying that like you can't be both or whatever, like purposely, like, sinning. That's the way I kind of...
What he's alluding to is someone saying that they are right with God, walking with God,
mm-hmm.
but they're sinning.
All the things that it said, like purposely. That's the way I personally.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. So maybe it's me coming out. So if I say that I'm right with God, but I'm not in church. I know I'm supposed to be, and I'm not. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not praying, you know, lying or whatever, lying to someone. I could tell you I'm right with God, but I'm not. I'm deceiving myself. That's what he's saying, right? What he's saying is, as a believer, if God wants us to walk, and if we examine our life, and we're not walking in the light, the reality is we're deceiving ourselves, right? He didn't say we're perfect because none of us are perfect. And that's what we'll get to there, Mark. You know, he's kind of saying, all right. It was kind of like he knew Mark was going to say, and he said, well, John, write this down for Mark because he's going to say it over 2,000 years later, and let's have it recorded. But what he's saying is if someone's saying that they're right with God, but they're in darkness, as in sin, they're lying. Does that a little better to clarify? So, and then in verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light, right? So that means you ask the Lord to forgive you and you're trying your best to live for the Lord. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, right? So if we're, you know, we're walking like we should, we have that fellowship. It's as you're going through your day and say, Lord, help me. You know, Lord, I'm in this temptation. Please help me, right? You're in that fellowship. You're doing what's right. You're saying, Lord, I see that's something that's wrong, and I'm going to help me to stay away from that temptation, right? He goes on and says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, right? What he's saying is none of us are perfect, right? Even though we're walking for the Lord, none of us are perfect. Well, I ran into a guy one time on the outskirts of Waynesboro. He asked me, he says, you ever get the second blessing? I was like, second blessing? What do you mean second blessing? He says, yeah, the second blessing. It's the place in your life where you get where you never sin again. I looked at him, I said, what? He said, yeah, I got it. I was like, liar? You know, I didn't say that to him. I was just like, what? But you'll have people out there that will say that. Salvation Army teach that. I can't remember who else that teach that. Where you, yeah, Pentecostal will teach that. Where you can get to that place where you never sin again. God's saying, if you say you have no sin, you're perfect. You're deceiving yourself, right? So none of us are perfect, right? And then he tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us, right? So the reality is we have to be honest, right? Honest. I'm walking with the Lord and I'm doing what I should. And you know what? I did something I shouldn't. I need to be honest and say, Lord, forgive me, right? Make it right. Confess it. And then keep on going. None of us are perfect. But in our walk, the reality is this. Hopefully, in time, you know, you put up, you know, you have the armor of God that you put on. You stay surrendered. You try to stay in the center of God's will. The things that may, at the beginning of your Christian walk, caused you to stumble, maybe now hopefully have grown, those things don't cause you to stumble. That doesn't mean there's not someone else or something else that will cause you to stumble. But hopefully you've got the victory. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Mark?
That's good.
I think it did, right? But I know you got it. You were just saying that it's, we all fail. Amen. It's, I don't know what else to say, but we're sinners. Amen. My best day, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. But God still wants us to try our best to live for Him. Any questions with that before we close up? No questions? All right. Laura, I'm sorry, was there?
Good meat.
Oh, okay. Father, thank you for this wonderful day you have given us. And Lord, help us to apply what we've learned tonight to our heart. Help us to walk with you and help us to be surrendered. And I just pray for your blessing upon us and help us to apply these verses to our heart. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.